Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and it is he who made us. We are his people, we are the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. In the Bible, it says, Psalm 96, 2. It says, sing to the Lord, praise his name each day, proclaim the good news that he saves. I think that's a great verse because, one, God is so great. He's the greatest being ever. And he always brings good news, and him being and him saving us is that good news. And I'm glad, another reason I'm glad, is that I get to come up here and give these messages and talk about God to y'all. And I love it. Because I love God and I know he loves me. And I want you to go out in the world and teach people about God and tell people about God and let them know who he is, how great he is for all of us. So when you leave, remember that. Remember to go out, teach people, or Tell them that he loves them and that he is great. And with that, that's a wonderful service. God bless.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this June 22nd Sunday. It is the second Sunday after Pentecost. We are still in the Pentecost season. So it's also called ordinary season after Easter, because there's a long stretch of Sundays. Sorry. Okay. There was an echo coming up, so sorry about that. We are glad that we are able to join here today and also online to worship together in this church and also online. And God has been good to us. And this today is also the World Church at Large celebrates as Freedom Sunday, as we remember the emancipation of slaves in the United States and the freedom they declared. Some of you probably knew, had a holiday on Thursday, Juneteenth. So that we also celebrate the freedom that God has given us, not only socially, but also spiritually. In Jesus Christ, we are free indeed. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. So we also celebrate today as a Sunday of freedom. Even though Independence Day is coming up, that's different. Independence for this country. But the Freedom Sunday is to celebrate the freedom that we have as one body in Christ. The announcements are on the second page. The food bank ministry continues. So please give in cash or in kind, and the books also. Our classes will be scheduled as we get volunteers to do that. And then third Thursday luncheon will be on July 24th at 1 p.m. The AIM 60th Annual Conference ended yesterday. We were there, my wife and I were able to join Friday and Saturday. That was a very blessed service, and we were blessed by the worship and the meetings there. And also, I was ordained and all my credentials got transferred from the UMC to AIM, so I'm fully ordained now, so we don't have to worry about funerals or weddings or anything like that. Baptisms, things like that will be legally acceptable. So thanks to God for all that blessings that we have. Pastor Tim said he was able to watch it online. I sent some of you the links. I don't know how many of you were able to watch it, but it was a blessed service. And it was, I didn't know it, they were 60 years old. The AIM has been established for 60 years. So that is a good thing that we learned a lot of things about them. We will have a Forsyth Community Clinic, a stress and anxiety management seminar, and a training session at the Fellowship Hall on Saturday, July 12th at 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. They are a voluntary organization in Forsyth County. They have come here before and gave us some classes on exercise. I don't know if you remember one Saturday after. So, yeah, we did some movements and all of that stuff. So that group is coming back on July 12th. So please join that on Saturday. It's especially designed and oriented for older people. A lot of times we think that when you are retired, you are not, don't have any stress. Believe me, you have more stress. There is no place that you can hide from stress and anxiety in this world. It's a different stress that we deal with at that time, right? I was cleaning up my closets today. Our pantry, grocery closet is getting empty, and our medicine closet is getting bigger. So I thought we would swap it out. That's where we are at this age, you know? Because we don't cook a lot. So thanks be to God for all the seasons of our lives. He's good, and He's been faithful to us all through our lives, and He's going to be faithful in the future. So let us trust in Him. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of the church by your prayers, your presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Please take up the opportunities on our website to give in various ways as you please. Those are the announcements that I have. Anybody have any other announcements? No. If not, let us continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 89, the blue book, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Oh, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou art Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, take us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the mighty chorus, this the morning star began. Love divine is reigning o'er us, binding our within its band. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumphs of the night.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful time that you have given us to gather in your name to worship you as your children. We thank you for the manifold blessings that you shower upon us. In all the seasons of our lives, you have been faithful to us, right from our birth, through our childhood, through our teenagers, through our mids and 20s and 30s and 40s and 60s and wherever we are now. Lord, your faithfulness has been from everlasting to everlasting. We thank you for your mercies and grace every day that you shower upon us, Lord. Even when we have been unfaithful, you have been faithful to us, O God. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us everything that we need. And we thank you for everything that you give us, Lord. Bless us today with your presence as we worship together as your children, especially as we celebrate the Pentecost. Also, we celebrate the freedom that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. When the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Lord, help us to understand that you not only set us socially free, but also you have set us spiritually free from the bondage of sin and death. So we are free as children of God as we live out our lives in this world. Thank you for your presence in our midst today. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven who adore you. Help us to sing your praises, meditate on your word and the prayers that we make here today. Bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our greeting time now, so we can get up and greet each other in Christian love.
Today's congregation choice was chosen by Jean, and it's entitled When We All Get to Heaven, page 701. Please stand and join us as we sing verses 1, 2, and 4.
Okay. 701. Oh, yes, right there. I don't have to look it up.
Play.
you remain standing, we'll read the responsive reading, which is Psalm 43 on page 778.
Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against the ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust deliver me.
For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you cast me off? Why must I mourn? Because of the oppression of the enemy.
O send out your light and truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your body. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling.
Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God.
Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?
Hope in God, and all is my praise, my help and my God.
Word of God for the people of God?
Yes.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jason.
Please be seated. Thank you, Jace, for reading that. You're going to be reading gospel soon. We'll go to our concerns and blessings now, that we'll share our prayers and blessings and give thanks to God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we'll bring our prayers of petitions and burdens and concerns as church united. When we trust in God and unite in faith, God said he will answer our prayers according to his will. So let us bring our prayers of praises and concerns at this time. The prayer requests, regular requests, are listed at the back of the bulletin in those boxes. Please use this as your regular prayer item in your regular prayer time every day. Pray for these people and these items listed here. Particularly pray for the peace in the Middle East, that there's a lot of things going on with the war and between the Middle East. So please pray for the world peace and the world leaders, especially that things will not escalate, but they will find a resolution to all these problems and will bring peace to this world. Pray for these people listed there: Jean McBrayer, Grace and Harry, Carol, Thomas John, Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway, and Wayne Clements. Please pray for these people for their healing and continued recovery, those who are recovering. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many others who serve us daily. Let us be thankful for their services and also pray for their safety and their family's safety. Pray for our nation, our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, and many others, governors, and who make decisions that affect our lives, that God will give them the wisdom to do the right things and make the right decisions. Pray for the world leaders, as I mentioned, that they will also fear God, that their decisions will also bring peace to this world. Let us pray for our church, not only in this community, but all the churches in this community, that we will be faithful to the ministry that God has given us to do, to share Jesus' love to this community. And also pray for the world church at large, that the leaders of the church will do the right things and stay faithful to the doctrine and to the scripture. And also pray for the missionaries around the world who are working in various difficult parts of the world, that God will strengthen them with his Holy Spirit to do the work of the kingdom. Those are the prayer requests that I wanted to share with you from the church. Anybody else have any special calls or prayer requests? One of the things that I asked, anybody have talked to Harry or Jan? We have tried a few weeks ago, but we didn't get an answer. If anybody get in touch with Jan or Harry, let us know how they are doing. If there are no other calls, special calls for prayer or praise, let us go to God in prayer, spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Thank you. In the Bible, in Romans 8, Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for the gift of life, gift of family and friends and church, and the opportunity to come and worship together in this church also. We thank you for the many blessings you shower upon us, Lord, the good health and strength that we enjoy in our bodies, the houses we live in, the jobs that we have, the cars we drive. All the things that we enjoy in our lives is from you and you alone, and we thank you for that. Even when we have been unfaithful, you have been faithful to us, O God, giving us everything that we need. We thank you above all for your Son Jesus Christ, through whom you have given us eternity, so that we can have eternity with you after this life in this world. We come before you as your children, O God, with our prayers, our petitions and burdens also. Some of us are broken in many different ways, and some of us are broken in our bodies. We pray that you will give us healing, especially the ones that we have called us here today. Jean and Grace and Harry and Carol, Thomas, Jerry, Sean and Amy Conway and Wayne, we lift these, your people, up in your hands, O God. We pray that you will touch them with your healing hand. Heal them, Lord, according to your mercy. Above all, we pray for peace for them and for their families. We pray for all of those who are affected by the war in the Middle East and also the plane crash in India. We pray for your grace upon them, and we pray that you will bring peace to those areas where people are affected by these things. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many, many others who serve us behind the scenes every day. We thank you for their services, and also we pray for them and for their families. We pray for our nation, that our leaders will be guided by the Holy Spirit. We pray for our president, leaders of the Congress and governors, and many others who make decisions will be guided by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, that they will make the right decisions that will bring peace and prosperity to our nation. We pray for the world leaders also, that they will fear God when they make decisions that will bring peace and also end all these wars around this world at this time. We pray for our church, and we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us in this community to be your witnesses here. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in using the opportunities to serve your people in this world who are in need. We pray for all the churches incoming and around. We pray for the pastors and the ministers, all those who are working in your vineyard. We pray for the missionaries around the world. We pray for that you will give them the power of the Holy Spirit. Strengthen them, Lord, wherever they are, especially in the face of oppositions and trials. Many are working in your vineyard. We pray for your grace upon them. We thank you again for this time that you have given us, Lord, to gather in your name. We pray that you will bless us with your presence and also with your word, as your servant speaks from the word. Give him the wisdom to bring your message that will touch our hearts and fill our lives with the blessing of your word. We thank you again for your presence in our singing, in our prayers and meditation of the word. Will bring honor to your name and blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. As we pray the prayer that your Son has taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
Doxology. Father, thank you for this beautiful day and every gift that you give us. We pray that as we give back a portion of that you will bless this offering to be able to help those in need and to further your kingdom. And we thank you for all that could pray, that could be able to contribute today. And we pray for those who could not. And please just keep us mindful of the needs of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which today comes from 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 through 18. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elisha was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he may die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. The Lord appears to Elisha. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elisha?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you're there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel. And anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death anyone who escapes the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death anyone who escapes the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Well, thank you, Lisa, for reading that passage. I know it was another long one, and there's a lot of detail in there. I'm sure that most of us who have been in church for a long time are familiar with that story of Elijah in the cave. And there's a very piercing question in that text. In fact, if you were listening carefully, God asked Elijah a question twice. He asked Elijah, "What are you doing here?" And as I started studying the text this week, that was kind of where I was going with our study this morning, was to try to answer that question. But the longer I studied it, the more I kind of expanded my scope of the study and kind of pull back the lens a little bit. And I decided instead to try to examine this text a different way. Instead of asking of Elijah, "What are you doing here?" I want us to ask of the text, "What is God doing here?" And what I mean by that, of course we know that God is there. God is on the mountain. He is there with Elijah. But what I mean by that is, what is God doing in Elijah's life? And I want to suggest three simple things that we can observe from the text And I pray that through the Holy Spirit, they would find a way to speak into our lives. Any text that we read from the Bible, it's not just a historical text. It is that. The Bible is history. But it is history that lives. And it is the Word of God, and it still speaks into our life. So I pray today that we would hear God's voice through this text. Before we study, though, would you join with me just for a brief prayer? Father, I pray that now as we consider these words, words that are very weighty and full of challenge and comfort to us, Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit would come and help us to hear. Lord, let us hear your voice directed to our lives. Call us, Lord, out of any dark places we may inhabit this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In order for us to look at what God is doing here outside this cave with Elijah, it's probably best that we start with a very brief review of Elijah's life and how he got here. The Bible just has Elijah suddenly appear, so to speak, in 1 Kings 17. We don't know a lot about his background or his family life. But we do know, if you're familiar with the story of Elijah, that his life was one of very miraculous interventions at the hand of God. Elijah was a prophet of power, and he saw God's power manifested in some very dramatic ways. You may remember that Elijah kind of arose as the chief opposition to the wicked king Ahab in the northern kingdom of Israel, and also his very bloodthirsty wife. You all remember the name Jezebel, I'm sure. Ahab and Jezebel had taken Israel into a period of deep idolatry. And in large measure, the kingdom of Israel had gone after the god of Baal and his demigods. And they were steeped in idolatry. And Elijah came on the scene to really call Israel back to the God of Israel, away from idolatry. You may remember the conflict with Ahab started as Elijah prayed for a drought. And you remember? For 3.5 years, right? It did not rain. The first part of that, Elijah was sustained at the brook. Remember, ravens brought him bread. And then he was moved from the brook when the drought eventually caused it to dry up to the widow's home in Zarephath. You remember the widow who had the flour and the oil, and God miraculously caused those provisions to sustain Elijah and the widow. And then the widow's son died. You remember that very unusual scene in 1 Kings where Elijah drapes himself over the body of the dead child and God raises the child to life. And then I guess perhaps the most famous scene from Elijah's life is in 1 Kings 18 when he defeats the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. You remember that story, don't you? Some of us can dredge that back up from Sunday school, can't we? That the two offerings and the prophets of Baal cry out to their God, and the Bible continues to say that their God does not speak. Their God is not heard. Not only does he not act, he does not speak. But the God of Elijah acts. The God of Elijah responds. And he appears in fire and consumes that water-drenched offering. That's in 1 Kings 18.
Amen.
Now, isn't that quite a miracle?
Yes, it is.
That is probably one of the most dramatic miracles that we see in the Old Testament. And again, I want to remind you, that was in 1 Kings 18. What did we just hear? A big portion of 1 Kings 19. Immediately after this miracle, Elijah begins to run for his life. You see that contrast? This is the only time in Scripture that we see the humanity of Elijah on full display. And it is absolutely on full display. if you were to look at a map of Israel, what happens to Elijah is he runs from the northwestern part of Israel, Mount Carmel. He flees from Jezebel in fear for his life, and he goes all the way down to the very bottom in Judah, in Beersheba, which is at the very beginning of the desert of the Negev. So he is literally, geographically, if you were thinking about north and south, Elijah is descending as he flees from Jezebel. But there's another kind of descending that Elijah is doing here, and this is very important, and this is where we begin to see what God is doing. Elijah is descending emotionally. Elijah is descending spiritually. He's descending psychologically. Elijah begins fleeing for his life, and by the time he reaches Beersheba and then starts his journey out under the broom brush, he's not only running for his life. Did you hear what the text said? He is asking God to take his life. Elijah has descended into a dark, dark place. There's a mystery in this descent, and I think God wants it to be that way, because we all, most of us, I guess I should say, have experienced some measure of darkness in our lives. Most of us have experienced some place where we found ourselves very, very low. Hopefully not to the extent that Elijah found himself. But listen up, you know, you have it easy here this morning because you just have to listen, but I have to speak. So I'm not going to ask you to divulge anything this morning, and I'm not going to exaggerate any of my experiences, but I have to be honest as a preacher. I've had some very dark, some very low moments in my life. Never to the extent of Elijah. I've never gotten to that point where I've said, Lord, I want you to take my life. I'm so thankful I've never been there. But I've been in some pretty dark caves. Have you?
Yes.
And I tell you this, it is the good news of God's word to us today that God can find us in the dark caves of our life. You know, the God of Israel is not just the God of the bright mountain. He's the God of a dark cave. And He comes to us where we are. That's the first thing that God is doing here in Elijah's life. He is coming to Elijah where he is. I'm thankful that there is some mystery in this. You know, volumes have been written. Preachers have speculated over the ages about why did Elijah sink to this depth? Why is Elijah in this state of desperation? And we could speculate here for a long time this morning. There's probably a lot of reasons behind it. He's physically exhausted. He's isolated. Perhaps even after all the miracles that God has wrought through his life, he still doesn't feel like his life is really counting. In fact, he actually says as much. He says, if you look back, I'll just read it to you in verse 4, when Elijah's under the broom tree, just listen to what he says. He says, "It is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And what Elijah is essentially saying here is that I'm a failure. And that my life is over. The work of God is done in me. And God, I want you to relieve me of my pain. I'm glad we don't have to figure out why Elijah, at least all the reasons why Elijah is in such a dark place. But that should teach us something. It's very important to understand when God comes to us where we are, that the darkness, if we happen to find ourselves in one of those dark places, are you hearing me? Are you with me? This is very important. Listen, the darkness may be thick. The darkness may be oppressive at times in our lives. But the darkness doesn't separate us from God. Paul says, what shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall principalities, shall powers, things present, things to come? You know that passage from Romans 8. He concludes, finally, nothing, no created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. The important point here is this. Not what made Elijah descend. The important point is this. God descended with him. And God found him where he was. I hope nobody needs this sermon immediately today. I hope nobody's in a dark cave. But you could be. You could be on the outside of one. You could be struggling. You could be fighting against some darkness. Listen, I say to you, on all the authority of Scripture, based on all the authority of who Jesus Christ is as the pure Son of God, God will come to you where you are. God meets you where you are. There is no darkness. There is no darkness, brothers and sisters, that can keep out His light. That's what God is doing here. He is coming to Elijah in the darkness. And thankfully, He is calling him out of it. Secondly, and this is very important, and I love this part, God speaks to Elijah in a way that he can hear. I think this is probably my favorite scene from Elijah's life is God tells him there in the cave to go stand before him. And the way I interpret this, before Elijah can even reach the opening of the cave, God manifests himself. And he manifests himself in a great and strong wind that tore the mountains. And it broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the scripture says, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then I love this part. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Or as the NIV says, a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave. In that cave, God put Elijah in a place where Elijah could hear his voice. And the point I want to make here, and I think this is so vital that we apply this to our own lives, is that God speaks to Elijah, and God will speak to us in a way that we can hear. Isn't it interesting that God doesn't come to him in the earthquake? That God doesn't speak to him vividly in the wind and the fire? But it's in that still, small voice. Elijah had had a lot of thunder in his life, hadn't he? After Mount Carmel, and the fire came down and the rains came, Elijah had heard a lot of loud noises. But God came to Elijah in the cave in a way that he needed to present himself so that Elijah would hear. And God caused him to listen for that still, small voice. Listen, dear friends, if we will listen for the voice of God, and I'm not saying this in some mystical, mysterious way, if you will listen for the voice of God, God knows how to speak to you. Do you believe that? You know, I've heard, I've had friends and I've had ministers people that walk with God that I've greatly admired, that have talked about their dramatic experiences of hearing from God. You've heard those stories. You may have had those stories. You may have those encounters. And thank God if you do. But can I testify this morning? I haven't had any Mount Carmel experiences. But I can tell you this. I have heard the voice of God. And it is not because of my ability to hear. It is because of His ability to speak. He can speak to us in ways that we can hear. Now listen, we live in a marvelous dispensation right now. I hold in front of me, I hold in my hand, the very Word of God. And I want to encourage you, if you want to hear the voice of God, the best way to hear the voice of God is through His Word. And I know there's a lot about this Bible that's hard to understand. I've been to seminary and I've studied the Bible since my mama taught me Sunday school when I was growing up. I don't want to tell you there's a lot here that I don't understand. But there is more that I do understand that I could ever live out in the rest of my life. And if you will ask God to speak to you through His Word, He will. I'm not saying that's the only way God speaks. But He speaks to us. If you will listen for His voice, if you will make space for the silence, God still speaks. And don't we live in an age today where we need to make space for the silence? Amen. That still, small voice, the gentle whisper. I think it was I believe if I've got my history right, the early 1900s, one of my favorite preachers, it was a Baptist by the name of A.J. Gordon. He pastored a church up in Boston. And in the early 1900s, A.J. Gordon preached a sermon. I have a copy of it in one of my books called The Ordinance of Silence. And he was bemoaning the fact in the 1900s that the church had lost its appreciation of silently listening for the voice of God. Listen, if that was the case in the early 20th century, can you imagine how much of an epidemic of noise we have in our world today? We have, I think Gordon was probably right in the 1900s. His voice is certainly true today. In many ways, we have lost our appreciation of the ordinance of silence, of being still before God, of listening for His voice. The Bible instructs us to do that. Psalm 62 in verse 1 says, "My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation." Psalm 46 reminds us, "Be still and know that I am God." The prophet Habakkuk declares, "But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." And so often it's in that still, small voice that we hear God speaking. Are you listening for Him today? I pray that we all are. By the way, let me just, can I chase a rabbit? Are y'all familiar with that term? Can I just chase a rabbit? This is an old rabbit, so he's not going too far. He's not going very fast. But I tell you something else that I think we can draw from this. It is not the experiences that we have with God that sustain us. It is God Himself. That's very important. Because if you look at the life of Elijah, he's a man of great experiences, of great miracles. But it is not the miracles that can sustain him in the cave. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
It's not the past experiences that keep his faith alive. It's the presence of God Himself. Now, I don't know, maybe that rabbit's just for me this morning because I need to hear that. As I get older sometimes, I look fondly back to some of my experiences with God. And I cherish those experiences. Times when I have been in the presence of God in a very special way. Times when I have in ministry, seeing the gracious presence of God work. And my heart longs for those experiences. God gives us those experiences. But we can't live on past experience, and we cannot live on emotions or the lack thereof. What sustains us is God Himself. It's when Elijah hears that voice that he comes to the front of the cave, and he wraps his cloak around his face, and he stands in the presence of the Lord. And that wrapping that cloak is something we see in other places in the Old Testament. As the prophet sometimes, as Moses would shield his face or cover himself in the presence of God, out of a deep sense of respect and awe and fear for the presence of God, that he was in the presence of God Himself. Dear friends, that's what sustains us. That's what sustains us in our faith. That's what sustains us in the valleys. That's what sustains us in the times when the emotions aren't there and the good feelings aren't there. It's not just our experiences of God. It is God Himself who sustains us. Finally, there's another thing here, I believe, that God is doing in Elijah's life. He is enabling, and this is very important. Okay, last point. Okay, that should encourage you to hang on, right? Last point. In the cave, God does something very important in Elijah's life. And I know that He wants to do it in our life too. He enables Elijah to see beyond himself. There's a really significant transition that occurs at the end of this encounter. God asks him once again, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah gives him the same answer, doesn't he? But God gives him a very specific direction after that. He says, go and return your way. Go through the wilderness of Damascus. Anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nishma, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And oh, by the way, Elijah, you think your work is done? Go find Elisha and anoint him, for he'll be the next prophet. Here, Elijah's eyes, this is very important, stay with me please. Elijah's eyes are open to see the work of God that is beyond him. He sees in Hazael, in Jehu, and in Elisha, he sees that he is not alone. That the work of God continues beyond his own self, beyond his own experience, beyond his own calling. And Pastor, I believe the older we get in ministry, the more important this is for us to know. That ministry and the work of God is not about us. It is beyond us.
Amen.
It extends beyond us. And he is correcting two very important misconceptions, disabling misconception in Elijah's life. First, he is correcting this. He is letting Elijah know he may be exhausted, he may feel isolated, he may be tired, but the work of God for him is not over either. Elijah may never defeat again prophets on Mount Carmel, but he will prophesy King Ahab's death as well as Jezebel's. He will defeat the messengers of King Ahaziah, Ahab's son. And probably most importantly, he will place the mantle of his ministry upon the shoulders of Elisha. And Elisha will go forward with a double portion of his spirit. And the conquest of the kingdom will continue. And the God of Israel will defeat the God of Baal. And idolatry in its own fashion with Baalism will eventually be overturned. Elijah's work is not over. Isn't that good news? Listen, I know we're here this morning, most of us. We got a couple of young folks in the house. I know I mentioned that a lot. I keep bringing that up because it encourages me. A lot of us here, though, are in deeper places in our journey. But listen, I believe this with all my heart. If blood is flowing through your veins today, if breath is coursing through your lungs, God is not through with you. He's not through with His church. He's not through with us. Because His work in us is not done. The work of God is not over in Elijah's life. And this is very important. Elijah is not alone. He thinks he is. He feels like he is. But Elijah is not alone. God says to him, Elijah, there's 7,000 in Israel. There's 7,000. You think you're the only one? There's 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee. Haziel and Jehu and Elisha await you. Go and complete the work. Go in the power of my presence. Go with the courage imparted by my voice. And that is exactly what Elijah did. We didn't read this, but the encounter with God and Elijah in the cave and on the mountain ends with a very hopeful and obedient verse. In verse 19, after Elijah has heard that still small voice, and he wraps his face in the cloak, and he moves outside on the side of the mountain, and he stands in the presence of God. The Bible says in verse 19, so he departed from there and found Elisha, his successor, because the work of God goes on. The voice of God always calls us out of ourselves. It calls us to God first and then to the work. That's always the order. We're called to God first and then to the work. But until God says our time is over, our work is not done. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we long to hear Your voice. We thank You, Lord, that You come to us and You speak in that voice to us no matter where we are. You find us where we are. You speak to us in a way we can hear. And You call us beyond ourselves, first to You and then to the work. So call us today, Lord. Call us by name. If there's anyone here, if there's anyone listening that's never come to that place of peace where they know they've been forgiven, they've been accepted as Your son or daughter through faith in Jesus Christ, Lord, call their name. May they hear Your voice, not in audible ways, but may they know the presence and the drawing power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, if there are those here or hearing today who feel surrounded by the darkness, Lord, call them out of that cave. May they stand in Your presence. May they hear that small voice calling us back to You and calling us back to the work. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn today is a beautiful old hymn of the church, and I hope y'all know this song as we stand and sing. We're going to sing about silently waiting for the voice of God, asking the Spirit of God to open our eyes and to open our ears. May that be our prayer today.
Open, Lord.
for the benediction, I wanted to remind you, next Sunday is our last Sunday of the month, so we'll have lunch after service. Just want to announce that.
Thank you for being so attentive to the Word of God today. I forgot to mention, my wife is not with me today. She woke up this morning, she's not feeling very well, and she has an immune condition. So anytime she gets sick, we try to get her into the urgent care and get medicine. So I'd appreciate it if you'd breathe a prayer for her that this would not, you know, get any more serious. Let us go here today, waiting upon God, in the words of the psalmist. My soul waits in silence for God alone. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. Amen.